Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Saturday, June 9th, 2018. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my electrifying twin brother, John Abaya.
Hey guys, I'm here at Walmart checking out all these cool games I saw on the website and surprised that none of them are on here. So I guess I have to wait until this week is over to see these unannounced games that are coming out on this Walmart.
Oh, cool.
In Canada. I'm Walmart that... Canada, actually.
Yeah, that's weird that you're traveling that far.
I'm speaking on Skype, yes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you do find your games after today or after this week.
Hopefully, yes. I see a whole bunch of games on this list.
Yeah. If you're new to the podcast, so we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week. We conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is E3, the Electric Entertainment Expo 2018, which is held in Los Angeles, California. It's about to start. We are recording this episode on Saturday morning, and I believe the first event is EA, which is this Saturday morning around 10:30. Then it will follow up with Xbox tomorrow at Sunday, Bethesda, Square Enix on Monday, Ubisoft is on Monday too, I think, and then PlayStation will be Monday, and to close it out will be Nintendo on Tuesday.
Yeah, excited for that one.
Yes, me too. Anyway, that is our main discussion, but before all that, we do have a trailer talk. There's actually tons of trailers that came out this past week. I can't name all of them, but let me get this list if there, we could get all of them, actually.
Yeah, because I've heard, like, I didn't know this. Like, I've seen this on Twitter. I guess around this time of the year, a lot of people, a lot of studios release a lot of trailers. That's odd for me because I'm also seeing new trailers for video games. So all this media is just crashing down on us in this odd way. I'm enjoying this week, though.
Yeah, it's weird. I think it just has to correlate with the summer.
I guess,
and then a lot of summer films come out. Anyway, here's a quick list of trailers other than Halloween that came out this past week. Girl in the Spider's Web, How to Train Your Dragon 3, Bumblebee, The Old Man and the Gun, The Lego Movie 2, Operation Finale, Ralph Breaks the Internet, Serenity, A Star is Born, Widows, Bad Times at El Royale, and Suspiria. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Those movies I did not see the trailer of because I didn't want to be spoiled.
Yes, me too. But anyway, here is this week's trailer, which is Halloween.
He's waited for this night. He's waited for me. I've waited for him.
Get out the wall! Get inside!
You don't believe in the boogeyman?
He's here!
Michael! You should.
That is a clip from the latest Halloween film, directed by David Gordon Green, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, Judy Greer, Andy Mitaka. I forgot how you say her name. I don't even think it's Andy. Well, anyway, Will Patton, Virginia Gardner, and Nick Castle. So this is from IMDb. The plot synopsis: Laurie Strode comes to her final confrontation with Mike Myers, the masked figure who has haunted her since the narrowly escaped his killing spree on Halloween night 4 decades ago. Anyway, John, you are a big horror fan, a huge horror fan, I'd say. So do you have any sort of relationship with the film Halloween, and what's your thoughts about the trailer?
My relationship with the franchise is that I only watched maybe a couple handful of them, not handful, probably about 3 or 4. I watched the first one, never watched the second one. I believe I watched clips of the second one, really liked the third one, Season of the Witch. And then I, in between those movies until, oh, what's the one? It's like a newly rebooted one where I think Resurrection or H2O, one of those. The one with, I think, Ice Cube, not Ice Cube. LL Cool J is the one I watched. And then
H2O.
Yeah, H2O. And then the one with Busta Rhymes where it was like a reality show or something like that. It was odd.
Isn't that the same
film? No. It's two different movies. The one with Busta Rhymes is Resurrection. And then the one with LL Cool J, he was a cop, I believe. Was H2O. So, this, I feel like after watching those movies, this movie takes all those other movies that came after one and just like throw out the door. This seems like a more spiritual successor to number one than all the other. It reminds me of what Superman Returns did in the odd way, right? That's how we're trying to view this movie as. And I really like the look of this movie. I like how it reminds me a little bit of a balance between the original John Carpenter's Halloween and a little bit of Rob Zombie's Halloween. Because there's like scenes there that I felt like it was in the Rob Zombie Halloween, especially the one with the gas station. There was like a scene like that. I mean, yeah, Mike Myers can kill anyone in anywhere he wants. But yeah, just seeing the dead body in the trailer inside the repair shop of like a gasoline or wherever this place is reminded me of that. And then I like the way they're portraying Jamie Lee Curtis' character. Oh God, I forgot her name. Laurie, as a like this very strong female protagonist that seems not crazy, but she's been waiting for this moment. It seems like Halloween 1 happened. And then she's been ready since then. Like, she's been training every Halloween the last 4 decades to get her revenge for, you know, for Mike Myers killing all his her friends. And this is her chance to do it. But at the same time, she's a mother and she has to protect her children. But she looks like a really, like, a confident, well-skilled, it looks like, protagonist. I don't know if this movie would go turned into, like, a more revenge type style of flick versus the slasher style where Jason it looks like it will be a balance of both. But I'm really excited with it because I really love the look of it and the way that it's designed. I know this is like Blumhouse film production, and I feel like they should do this to all horror franchise. Like, they should do it with Nightmare on Elm Street and Jason and all of them. Like, just give us that version of what they think with the new generation of horror movies. But yeah, I'm, like I said, I'm very excited.
I'm also excited to see this. Like you, I've only watched a handful of the films from the franchise. I think I watched the first 3 or 4, and then H2O. I've ever watched Resurrection. I haven't watched the Rob Zombie remakes.
Yeah, too. So I watched those. I don't know if you count those, but
yeah, I don't know yet. I mean, from the look of this trailer, it seems like up to the first one, none of the next ones are not the sequels are not in canon, I guess you could say. I do like what you said, like how Jamie Lee Curtis' character is the strong, empowered protagonist. It does remind me of like Terminator 2 or. You ever watched that Korean film, I Saw the Devil?
Yes.
And I'm feeling that it's going to be like that type
where
of situation.
Where she sets it up for...
Yeah. Where everything's set up where she gets her revenge, in a sense. It will be kind of funny that because she's been training for 40 years, that the first scene when they do encounter with each other, that she just kills him. Credits roll. It's like, oh yeah, that makes sense because it's 40 years. You've been preparing.
She had a handy shotgun pointing at his head. Yeah. And that's the end.
Basically. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, I didn't mention that the writers of the film is including, what's his name?
Danny McBride?
Danny McBride.
That's interesting because I wonder... what is his contribution to the screenplay or the writing? Like, is it just jokes or is it more a theme, you know, like plot wise and stuff like that.
I mean, I feel like he's going to be a huge impact of the film, because I think the fact that he is a fan of the franchise, I think he has a respect towards the franchise that will not make it like horrible or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, my only concern, I think I mentioned this non-recording off the mic, I guess you could say, off the record. I don't know how you say it. But it was my how they deal with like mental health issues.
Yes, yes.
Especially when they're in the asylum. I'm like kind of curious of like how they're going to approach that or tackle that.
Not well.
Of, yeah, yeah. I mean, judging by that trailer. I mean, it's just a film, but at the same time, there's going to be like that stigma towards it, mm-hmm. that people will be, think that everybody in asylum are serial killers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in this trailer, they show them break free from a bus crash. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It kind of reminded me of a scene from Deadpool 2. I don't know if you ever watched that film yet.
Yeah, I have. I think we did a review of that.
Yeah, we did too. But it reminded me of that scene. And then Mike Myers is basically...
Wait, well, that's a spoiler, I think.
Oh, yeah,
I'll beep that out. Now people are like, what is he talking about? He's what? Is he the blob?
Or she.
Is she? Oh, yeah, it could be a woman now.
But yeah, that is Halloween, which is going to be set out this...
Halloween.
No, just Halloween, yeah.
No,
I think no, it earlier. Is closer to Halloween, yeah. October 19th, which is... I might be getting married that day, so.
Oh yes, we could celebrate. Yeah.
But yeah, that is Halloween 2018. moving on, you did a couple things too this week. What have you been doing?
So I've been doing some reading and some gaming. Let's start with the reading real quick. So I've been discussing this over the last couple of months. This is basically the. Last issue, not the really the last issue. I think I've heard he's going to write 801, but this is Dan Slott's last issue in Amazing Spider-Man. So this Amazing Spider-Man 800, written by Dan Slott and art by a whole bunch of people. This book is huge. It is a $10 book with 80 pages basically, and it's. Incredible what they've done, I guess, with this issue, because most of the time when they do these type of issues, especially the anniversary style of 800 or the hundreds issues, they do like small stories, like they'll do backstories and whatnot, but this one is one big story. So the artists are, I won't name them because they did a great job, Nick Bradshaw, Edgar Delgado, Herberto Ramos, this is actually a lot, and their names are very hard.
I don't
hard
think you need to name all the...
Yeah, Camacoli, I'm just going to say their last names. Imonen, I think that's it. Oh, no, and then Martin. So, yeah, I'm looking at the book right now. but yeah, so... Last time I discussed this, Norman Osborn is back. Previously, he disappeared. He lost his Green Goblin persona. So he got it back by getting the Carnage symbiolite. I forget how, what's her name, says it. But he gets it and becomes the Red Goblin. So he gives... Spider-Man ultimatum, stop being Spider-Man and your whole family lives, and that's it. And then he will stop tormenting him. But he doesn't do so. He does try to stop him, and he gets help from all his amazing spider friends, from Silk, the newly Silk in the last couple of years, from Miles Morales. I forgot the other people's name, but there's like a couple of characters they added in the last, I say, decade, but now they're like his close friends, and they're all connected somehow to Spider-Man via the being a bad guy, a villain, until now becoming like a hero or becoming a good guy now. I thought the issue is very exciting. It felt like a movie. You're watching a movie with three arcs. They divide the book into chapters, and each chapter tells this little piece of the story that really really did a great job telling it. I guess I don't really have any gripes, but because it's a comic book, they have to go back to the status quo sometimes and then do something, you know, like most comic books, they can't just stay in the same, they can't just continue, they have to go back to the status quo. That's my maybe only gripe, but I want to see what they do in the next issue. I think it's very exciting. There's a lot of things that actually made me a little teary in the towards the end, not because it's sad, but there's a character in here they respected and paid respect to that I really like, and how they portrayed him and how he was a hero, this hero that I didn't think will become this hero. And they reflect on the past a lot in here, and then yeah, it's just really exciting. I really want to see what 801 will be like. That's next month, I guess. But yeah, if you're a huge Spider-Man fan and you have that Spider-Man itch, I guess, after Infinity Wars, the thing. I'm thinking, should I just blank that out? Maybe. Yeah, I should just beep that out. but yeah, just go ahead and read that. It's really a good comic book. Next up, I also played a new game that came out on the Switch. It's a free download, and there's a reason for that. It's a game I thought I'll never play. It's called Pokemon Quest. So this game is touch based. You can play with the controller. It's dumb playing with the controller. It's actually difficult playing with the controller. It's a touch based game. The art is very voxel, like squares, like it's tilt. The camera's a little tilted. I don't know how you say that, but it's a voxel type of art where all the Pokemons, even the scenery, is all like blocky shape. And you go on this island, you're a little, what do you call that thing that flies up in the air that you control nowadays? A drone. You're a little Pokemon drone. And you need, yes. And you need to capture these Pokemon for research. And you're trying to figure out something else. There's like a mystery to the island. So you go on the island and you get to pick a Pokemon. There's five different ones. I think it's like Eevee, Pikachu, Squirtle, Bulbasaur, and Charmander. If you notice, that's like the original Pokemon. If you're a Pokemon fan, I'm not a huge fan. I only know it from the cartoons and some video games I would play. Just like my handful of knowledge of Pokemon. Or not handful. My knowledge of Pokemon is a handful of stuff. So I don't know exactly what, like, why is there Eevee there? But you basically go around and try to solve this mystery with the island. And you pick a Pokemon. I pick Squirtle. Ben, what would you pick out of those five?
Pikachu.
Right? Pikachu?
Oh, wait, what it was? Out of the
Squirtle, Pikachu, Eevee, Bulbasaur, Charmander?
Probably Bulbasaur.
Okay, that's a good pick. I would probably be maybe my second pick. But because I like the Squirtle gang, I'm trying to get a Squirtle gang in here. I pick a Squirtle. So with this Pokemon, you go around defeating other Pokemon with no trainers. They're just wild Pokemons, and there's boss levels and whatnot. It's this, each level has like four to five rounds. Each one has a big boss, and you just do that. It's basically a grinding type game where you play the level all over again and leveling up your character. Like I said, this game is mostly touch-based, because I didn't know this until couple of days ago. The game's actually a mobile game that's going to be coming out next month on your phones. And I was like, oh, that's why it feels like a touch-based game. And it's going to be a free-to-play type style game where you can actually buy credits to continue. So it's one of these games where you only could play a certain amount of rounds and that's it. And then you drop it and that's it. Or you can pay with these Pokemon cards thingies. I don't know what the currency is called in this game, to continue to put more. And if you run out of those, you can pay actual real money to get those. So it's that type of game. But I find myself it's a game where in which I'm cooking and I can just turn it on and it auto plays. So the rush of just getting new Pokemon, Is my, I guess, my excitement. I play this probably like 20 minutes a day and that's it. I'm done. It just gets me into that weird mobile space. I don't know if you have a game like that where you can just pick up and just play and then drop it. And you don't have to worry about it. You're not stressing out about, you know, your missions and stuff like that. So, like I said, if you like those type of games, it is difficult at times, actually, when I'm playing with it. Even when you put it on auto, so there's a feature here where you can autoplay, where you press the button and it will just play by itself. You don't have to touch it, you don't have to do anything, because it's a touch-based game, it almost has that feel of you have to press the buttons nicely to make sure you hit the right button, because the Switch isn't designed to be like a mobile thing for me. There is, unless you take off the Joy-Cons and then, yeah, it becomes like a small tablet. But you need those tablets still to, like, control a certain aspect of the UI. But still, it's still this odd experiment Nintendo's doing with this. And I can see why they're doing this, because E3 is coming up. And I know they have, like, 3 other Pokemon games that they'll be announcing. So, yeah. So if you like Pokemon, I guess play this. It's not that difficult, and odd way it is, in this odd way. I don't know how to explain it well, but yeah. That's basically what I've been doing all week. I've been still playing PUBG, Ben. PUBG Mobile. Do you want to know how much time I've been playing PUBG Mobile, Ben?
Sure. I didn't even know there was like a time for that.
A what?
I didn't know there was a way to know how long you've been playing.
No. I've been drawing on my walls each mark every hour. And okay, I think I spent maybe about 40 hours on PUBG already.
A week? Wow.
No, a week. All together, 40 hours. I think that's a lot for me for mobile game. I don't know why I'm whispering. I think the PUBG police will get me and arrest me for playing. No. Yeah, that game is still in my life. I keep saying I'm going to drop it. But because I can't play that game anywhere else, I can't play Fortnite yet on anywhere else, I've just been playing that. I heard PUBG's great on Xbox Live, Ben. but yeah, I'm still playing that game. I'm just chugging along, killing sometimes, mostly hiding from people. And yeah. That's what I've been doing all week.
In the Xbox One, they actually integrated like the new maps from the PC.
Oh, version. Yeah, we had the maps too. It was the desert, right?
Yeah.
That's the only one we have, the desert.
We just got it like a couple weeks ago or a week ago.
Yeah. It's very difficult, that map, driving.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And it's not really that, it's fun, but I feel like you get killed easily. There's nowhere to hide, that's why. It's just open desert.
But yeah, speaking of video games, I guess we're going to move on to our main discussion, which is E3. For those who don't know what E3 stands for, it stands for the Electric Entertainment Expo. This is the 24th one, which is held in LA, California. Also, the event is a way for software developers and publishers from the video game industry to showcase like their newest and latest titles and consoles, and for people to also like get a glimpse to them too, so they get to play them on that floor, on the ground floor. I think we've been talking about this in years. Every year we always have this episode where we have predictions or what we're excited for, then we'll follow it up with a actual E3 discussion about the games and whatnot. So starting off, John, is there a game that you're looking forward to in any of these consoles? We were about to go console by console, but you and I, between us, we only have 3 consoles that are in E3 right now. Or not. One of them is, you know, still questionable. Is I have a Nintendo DS and Xbox One, and John, you have a Nintendo Switch. But any games that you're looking forward to? I only have one.
So early in the show, I talked about that leak Walmart thingy they done. They show like a lot of images, and then some of them are Nintendo Switch games, and most of them are confirmed. I think the only one that isn't confirmed is the Metroid Prime 4, but we know that's coming because they announced that last year. So everything on Nintendo's, I guess, list is out already. So most of the things I'm excited for is Nintendo stuff. The only PlayStation thing, even though I don't have a PlayStation, I'm excited for, of course, is Spider-Man, the new one. I just want to see more games of that. But I won't really discuss that much because it's Spider-Man for me. So I really want to play that. So I have to probably find a PS4. So if you have a PS4, listeners, and if you want to donate it, you can Venmo me. Just kidding. Yeah, so Nintendo is the one that I'm really excited for. There's a lot of games on there that pique my interest, one of which is a Battle Royale game that I've seen floating around. And I guess there's actual proof that the game is coming to the Nintendo Switch. It's actually Fortnite for the Nintendo Switch I'm really excited for, not PUBG. I probably would have rather had PUBG versus Fortnite, but I'll take any Battle Royale at this moment. I'm really excited for that because my kids really wanted to play that. It has this really kiddie look to it. I know you shoot guns and whatnot, but it's this weird cartoony animation. Unlike PUBG, it's more realistic. PUBG, in my view, this one's more like this Team Fortress, and still has this building aspect that my kids really like to do. So I'm really excited for that, for the Nintendo Switch that's coming out. Some of the leaked stuff I've seen for Nintendo Switch, I hope they actually announce. I think there's a Star Fox Racing game. I don't know what is it called, but I'm interested in it just because Star Fox, and I want to see if it's going to be more like F-Zero style of racing or more of the traditional like Nintendo Mario Kart. I hope it's more like F-Zero. That might be a cool blend of Star Fox and F-Zero. Even some of the characters in F-Zero, I don't know which one came first, but some of the characters in F-Zero are like Star Fox characters with their names and whatnot. So that would be exciting to see. I heard there's a Resident Evil 2 remake. I don't know what system is that for. More likely not the Nintendo Switch. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm a huge Resident Evil fan. And there's one game that I'm really excited for because I've heard all like these different podcasts of video game personnel always talk about this game. It's been out for a while, but it's only in the arcades. I don't know if you heard of this game, Ben, Killer Queen. So it's a 10-player competitive game that's on the arcades. It came out a while ago, maybe within the last 5 years. It's an indie game, they consider, but you have to, it's required to have this 10-player arcade machine to play it. But there's no actual console version, I guess the Nintendo Switch got the console version or rights to it or license it, or I don't know if it's just coming out on Nintendo Switch, but the Killer Queen Black is coming out, or is rumored to be coming out or be announced this week on E3. It seems like it might be true because I heard like the developers, I forgot their name of the developers at the moment, social media pages are all in black. So I don't know, they are might be announcing something soon. So that's very exciting. And I hope that is out because I heard that game is pretty fun to play.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that game. At the moment right now, I'm going through like my Twitter page and a lot of games are being announced for like PlayStation right now.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of weird, yeah. I think because, you know, they're competing EA, I think it's today too. So like they're just announcing a bunch of games at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Prior.
Control, I mean, that narrative, like they say.
Yeah, like there's a game, I wish I had a PlayStation VR, but it's titled Ghost Giant, and it looks like from what I'm looking and watching, it's like a ghost. You play as a ghost in this very like cutesy, quirky world and whatnot, who's a giant. Mm-hmm. But that looks interesting. Is that, so going, that's PlayStation, I think, I guess. I'm actually looking forward to like indie games, a lot of them. I mean, I don't have a top of my mind, but a lot of them that were announced earlier this year, I'm looking forward to. But the one like major game I'm looking forward to, because I have an Xbox One console, is Halo 6.
Wow, they're in Halo 6? I didn't even know they were at 6.
Yeah. And then it will feature a Battle Royale mode.
What? Really? Are you serious?
Yeah, that was similar to like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Oh, yeah. This is not a trick. So, you're not like tricking me right now, right?
No, that's like a rumor. It is a rumor still. But
okay.
It'll be interesting to see how that's going to play out and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
If that's true, that might be the reason why I would buy my Xbox One just for that, just to play with you on Battle Royale mode on Halo.
Yeah. And then, like, the other games are, I mean, I'm not really, like, looking forward to, because I don't play the other games, like Splinter Cell, Rage 2, Just Cause 4, Dragon Quest 2, Destiny, Comet, Assassin's Creed, a new one, Borderlands 3, Lego DC Villains, Forza Horizon 5, and Gears of War 5. So a lot of sequels in that batch. I remember when the new consoles were coming out, a lot of editorials, gaming publishing groups, I guess you could say, were discussing like how they won't probably do sequels to these big things, that they will make new property, and then it looks like how they're just continuing sequels.
How many original IPs you think they'll reveal? Like, with no connection, it's not going to be like, oh. Like,
over the overall, probably like a handful.
Like five, you think?
Yeah, probably, five or six.
Give me a number. Let's play the odds.
Seven. I mean, there's always going to be a lot, because if you count the indie, are you talking about like AAA games?
Yes, AAA games, not indie games. I'm talking probably about like EA, Ubisoft, Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony, all of them, all together. Yeah, how many?
All together, probably six or seven.
Okay. I would say eight.
That has no correlation with... There's no like correlation with like even their franchise
characters. Yeah, no, like, connection to that. It's not like
a Mario Golf.
Yeah. Not, like that doesn't count.
Okay, yeah.
Speaking of Mario Golf or sports, you should check out that Mario Aces on the Nintendo Switch last week. I forgot to mention this. Last week, they had that game as a pre-release, I guess, or try out the online service on the Nintendo Switch. And that game is like a fighting game that I did not expect. There are certain moves like a fighting game, like supers and all this stamina, dealing with your stamina that you have to build up, and then you release your super and stuff like that. It is insane and very hard. I did not expect that. And I just wanted to play as a Chomp Chomp thingy, the little, you know, character. I did not get to that because you have to earn points to get characters, and that felt kind of weird. I was like, oh, this type of Mario game where you have to earn coins to open up characters. Oh, okay. But yeah, just a little side note.
Yeah. But that's basically what I'm looking forward to right now. I think we'll talk more about this after the games are revealed. It's just really tough to discuss it.
Did you hear they're making Overcooked too?
Yeah, they are. Okay. I heard about that.
I hope it will be different, a little more different than
You know what I would expect? I don't know if they have these type of levels in Overcooked, the original one, because we only got so far.
Yeah.
That
it gets really difficult, that game with four players.
What if there's one that's like two stories?
Oh, that's going too much. What? I don't know, like visually, how would you show that? What if your player's in the bottom story? Because the way the Overcooked is just one screen. It's not split up into four different screens when you play.
Oh, yeah, it's true, yeah. Well, they could do like a invisible perspective thing. Yeah. Certain perspective and whatnot. We'll see. Anyway, that is our main discussion of E3 2018, our predictions and what we are looking forward to. If you have any questions, please email us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's TFA Now, and Facebook at The Freaking Awesome. And all of our stuff is at thefreakingawesome.com.
Are we going to do that one thing we did last week where we recommend this one thing that you guys are looking forward to or want people to check out?
Oh, sure. I don't have anything. I do actually. Go on, John.
Oh, no, you can go first.
I would want to give a shout out to, and I only watched the first episode, but I feel like it's deserving to get a watch, is the FX newest, latest television series, Pose.
Pose? P-O-S-E?
Yeah, like posing. Like,
oh,
pose.
Never heard of this. Huh.
It's about the New York ball scene, you know, voguing. Mm-hmm. Voguing. I don't know how you say it.
I don't know, yeah.
It takes place in the 1980s, New York City, and it's about that scene, the culture of voguing and whatnot, and about it's actually a bit complicated to say everything in this little issue, but in this little mini suggestion, whatever. But it's one of the first television shows. It's from Ryan Murphy again, you know, from what do you call that? American Horror Stories, yes, and whatnot. Anything that's FX hit show, Ryan Murphy has his hands on it. But it's one of the first shows where several of the main characters are transgender, and mm-hmm. Seeing that is really cool. And also just the acting from everyone is really great. There's other famous actors in there too, but I think the protagonists, majority of the protagonists, are fairly new, and I feel like this is like their startup, their career and whatnot. They're well known for other stuff, but this is like their big opportunity to you know, shine and whatnot. But I only watched the first episode, which was really cool. I always tend to forget that Ryan Murphy's television shows always have this melodrama with it. Sometimes like the dialogue is a bit cringy.
Yes.
Trite.
Like, I've watched a couple of American Horror Stories.
Yeah. And I know it's all good intentions, but mm-hmm. At the same time, for something like that show, which takes like a very serious time and decade when we were starting to create the language when it comes to LGBTQ stuff, and it's kind of some of the dialogue, it's like okay, it makes sense. I feel like they should have had more people who were in the community to like help write them or consult with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's, I mean, they probably did and that's what they wanted to, but at the moment it's really entertaining. It to get into a show that is completely different from art world, or like the world I'm living in, it's really mm-hmm. fascinating.
My thing I would recommend is another podcast I just started listening to. If you're a horror fan, this is the first like horror, well, not the first. I've also listened to Get Out the Room. That's a really good podcast. They don't release episodes monthly or weekly sometimes. So when they do release it, I would listen to it. But this new one is called Nightmare on Film Street. It's a horror podcast, but it seems like, what I can judge from the people who are on the podcast, it's two people. I forgot their names. I feel like I should probably know their names. But it's basically a horror podcast, but they do it in the way where they take two movies and they talk about them in two similar movies, that in genre or feel or style or whatnot, and then they basically discuss them, both of them, but they take turns. They do that thing where you discuss one movie full, like with spoilers and whatnot, and you discuss the next one and whatnot. Oh, so the hosts are Kimberly and Jonathan. I don't know if they're married. I don't know if they're a couple, but it's a fun little podcast if you really like horror. I just got into it because I've seen people on my Twitter feed post about them and wanted to check them out. They feel like they feel like they're new and old to horror. Like I don't know what their age are, but the mind frame, or the when they discuss certain films, they would say like, "Oh, I wasn't born yet." So I was like, "Oh, okay." So they're probably this old, but it's a refreshing take on a horror podcast, because they seem like they love horror movies, but at the same time, they're still new at this genre, and they're not the type of people who say like, "Oh, it has to be this type of horror. It has to be this type of style of filmmaking." And I really appreciate that, because I'm always champion of like remakes and stuff like that, for horror movies, and just to see other people, you know, point of view, or how would they remake that horror movies. And I like original horror movies too, and they seem like they like the original or new ones too, and they're not the type of people who's like, too many remakes, too many sequels. And they, yeah, it just I enjoy the podcast, and yeah, just want to have tell you guys about it.
Cool. You can find it on any podcast.
Yes, I believe I have Apple, so that's how I listen to them.
Oh, cool. So with all that said, where did I find you on the internet?
At the most organized Twitter feed of 2018, We're almost halfway there, guys, of the year.
Yes.
At Abaya Arts.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Benjamin Abaya. Once again, you can find all of us on the Freaking Awesome Podcast. I think that's it. Thank you again. We're going to probably have an episode up once again in a couple of days. Most likely, or we're trying to talk about Hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. We might have a couple of few guests in that episode. Talking about horror again. Yeah, so I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.